And the Vezina trophy goes to?
Pekka Rinne.
This is Pekka Rinne's first Vezina trophy after being a finalist 3 times since 2011. The Predators had 53 wins and 117 points this season, both team records. Rinne had a career-best 11-game winning streak this season.
Pekka Rinne wins the Vezina last night. It is Jared of the GM. Hal Gill in for Floyd today, and Hal had his first Darren McFarlane headset situation. The only thing worse than the Darren McFarlane headset situation is the Derek Mason headset situation, but you have now lived the life that Floyd and I, if this happens, so Floyd usually sits in the seat you're sitting in today.
What?
Which is the seat Darren sits in for the
what?
Midday show.
What? I can't
Can
hear,
you hear
anything.
Me?
I'm deaf
that,
now.
Is that ringing? I, is that over with?
Felt so, like I stepped into a concert when the headphones went on my head. he needs to have his hearing checked. That's a problem.
I this is something that I have, I kind of laugh at both D Mace, who does the morning show, and Darren, who does the midday show. I laugh at them knowing that, like, this is in my future no matter what. Because, you know, I wear a headset for 4 hours a day, too.
Yeah, that's
so, like, you know, what has probably happened to Darren's hearing is probably going to happen to me at some point down the road.
Evolution of a radio personality?
I should not laugh and I should not make fun, but you have now experienced what it's like when, you know, you put the headset on and bam, get you. And it does get me from time to time, so...
Lesson learned.
Good to see you today. Pekka Rinne wins the Vezina.
Yes.
We got to get to that. We got to get to the Barry Trotz stuff. We got to get to the John Ward stuff. I mean, because today is definitely a day to remember John Ward, the great voice of the Vols. I'm not even a Vols fan. You know, growing up, my dad and I used to root against the Vols, and yet John Ward still played a huge part in our lives and really a lot of people's lives here in the state of Tennessee. But we start with Pekka. And that was Pekka winning the Vezina last night. And I'm really happy for him. I really am. But I sent out a tweet last night, Hal, and I kind of listed this off. And it was, you know, Pekka basically, I know it's a team sport, but like last year, he won a Western Conference. He won a President's Trophy this year. He's got 300 wins as a goalie. He's won just so many playoff, I mean, countless playoff games that he's won where, like, he was the guy and the reason they won. He's been on numerous all-star teams, and now he's won the Vezina. Like, at this point, I feel like with Pekka, there's really one thing left to do. And he's got 1 year left on his contract, and to me, it's win the cup. And, I mean, that's the one thing left to do. He's got 1 year left. I feel like that's what this is all about now. Like, it's the only thing left for Pekka to do is to win the Stanley Cup.
And I think he would probably agree with you on that. I think that's exactly what his game plan is. You know what? We talked about it yesterday, about what it meant. And obviously, you know, you want to win the cup. But yet, last night, watching him accept that award, I saw a different side of it, and it was kind of cool. And I'm not into the individual awards. That's not something that really gets me going. But, you know, I saw the kid and the little kid Pekka Rinne putting on his pads on for the first time when he was a little guy, and watching all the great Finnish goaltenders that he probably wanted to be just like them. And you want to be the best in the world. And, you know, it was kind of cool to see him. He did get a little emotional talking, you know, and I don't know if he expected to get emotional, but he's the best goalie in the world this year. I mean, that was what it came down to, and he won that award. And
going away, too.
Yeah, I mean, what the votes were weren't even close. I mean, which is, you know, really an awesome thing for anyone to kind of reach that pinnacle. Obviously, you want to win the championship, and that would have been what a season that would have been if it won all together. But to be the best goalie in the world on any given year, that's something special. And I really enjoyed, because he is. And if he wasn't such a great guy, it'd be easy to knock him and kind of get on top and say, oh, go win. Like, he got up there and it was kind of a touching moment, and he's one of the best people I know.
He's so classy.
You know, yeah, that's a great word for it. And he is, you know, when you talk to him, I remember the first time I met him, you know, eye contact goes a long way with me, and he'd stare at you and listen to what you were saying, genuinely concerned about what you were saying. A lot of hockey guys are, yeah, whatever, you're on my team now, I don't really care, you know. But he'd ask about my family, my kids, my wife. He was really involved, and my wife will say the same thing. You know, he talks to her, and it's, you're the only person in the room, and he treats everyone with class, and there's no person that's more deserving of that award, of that, you know, and the hard work that he puts in. And Roman Josi tweeted out that your Instagram yesterday, just the hardest working guy, and he deserves it. And so that's, I really enjoyed the, you know, recognition for all the work that he's put in. And as he said, it's been a long time coming, and I know he's got more to do, but what an awesome recognition of a great athlete and a great person.
He's got one more thing to do. Then everything else after that, to me, like, if he does that, like, the level of just what he would be cementing his career by winning the cup.
Put a stamp on it.
It would be so impossible. Yep. Like, you may have a better career in terms of more Vezina trophies or more cups, but like, you can't have a better career, I think, than Pekka Rinne would have. Like, if they win the cup next year, he will have spent his career in one place.
Yeah.
He will
hard
have,
to do.
He will have, like, lived coaching changes, playoff disappointments, you know, getting pulled in the Stanley Cup final, winning a Vezina, you know, winning the first ever playoff series with the franchise, winning the first ever second round, winning the first ever Western Conference, the first ever cup, yeah, the first ever individual award. I mean,
put it on the list.
That's, I mean, I don't know, like, what the criteria for the Hall of Fame in hockey is. I have no idea, and honestly, I don't care. But, like, I don't know what else he could do if he does that one more thing. And so, to me, all of my focus now for him and for the team is on that one more thing.
Yeah.
And that's, like, that's it. Like, they have accomplished so much, really, in, like, the last 7 years. Like, since the start of the decade, they've accomplished so much with him as the goalie. And now there's one thing left to do.
Well, it's worth saying that not only is he on a great team and a great goalie, but they built that team really around him. And mm-hmm. You don't go out and build up a team to go win the Stanley Cup without a great goalie. And so I think he takes a lot of pride in being the guy that they've built around. And they've made trades all the way along. They even traded Shea Weber, Ryan Suter, all these great players, and kept him and had him as their backbone. And he's stepped up, and now, you know, like you said, the last thing for him to do is to win the cup.
So that's first thing on the docket. Second thing on the docket, Barry Trotz is the new head coach of the New York Islanders. Now, I thought Barry was not going to take that job because I don't think very much of the Islanders. But it looks like Barry's going to get that. His first game as head coach of the Islanders, you will be at in Brooklyn.
That's
on
right.
October 6th against the Predators. So Barry Trotz is head coach of the Islanders. At first, this was my first reaction to this, Hal. I thought it was stupid for Barry to take this job. Because even if they do re-sign John Tavares, the Islanders, I feel like, still have a really long way to go to be able to compete with that division.
I don't think they're that far off.
But then I heard $4 million a year, and I thought, well, if Barry had taken a year off and then gotten $4 million, he would miss a whole year of making $4 million. So I'm like, you know what, Barry? Go get your $4 million, Barry.
Yeah.
Was it 5 years, $20 million? So $4 million a season for Barry Trotz. Go get your money, although I do think he's going to have his work cut out for him with New York.
Yeah, I think he's got his work. I don't think they're that far off. I think they have some key elements. They have some young players that, you know, assuming they keep Tavares, I think he's really, if they lose Tavares, and it turns into a quick rebuild. But if they can get him signed, I don't think they're that far off. You know, there's a lot of moving parts in the NHL, but I don't think it would be that hard. The interesting thing for me, and we could talk about this, is Lou Lamoriello has a very different style than Barry Trotz. Trotzy is a guy that'll give you a hug and bring you in, and you're part of a family now, and you know, we want you to be the best you that you can be, and he'll talk you through it, and he'll walk through it with you.
So basically, he's a really nice guy.
He's a great guy.
And Lou Lamoriello is...
Lou Lamoriello will bring you in and say, you're part of the family now. Now you do exactly what I tell you. You know, it's a very different... maybe they're all pulling you in part of the family, but Lou, it's Lou's way or the highway, and there's no room for interpretation, and this is the way it's going to be done. And so it's an interesting, I'd love to be in on some of those meetings to see, you know, we talked about Mike Vrabel and where he's going to bring that team and the ideology that they're going to have. What are they going to be all about? Because Trotsky, a big part of the reason why the Preds are so involved in the community is because that was a family mission from Barry Trotz.
So I'm rooting for him. Don't really care that much. I mean, because he got his cup, so I feel good for him now. But I'm rooting for him.
Now he's out.
But I'm like, Barry.
You got your cup. I don't care anymore.
Barry, get your money. And $4 million a year compared to $1.8 million that they wanted in Washington.
That goes pretty quick in Long Island, though.
I don't care. It goes pretty quick in D.C., too.
That goes,
not like New York, but get your money, Barry. So I'm in on that one with Barry Trotz. The other thing, of course, the passing of the great John Ward. You know, John Ward was, I mean, to a lot of people, he was Tennessee football. And I think the funny thing is obviously now you're going to be entering your second year with the Preds on the radio side. When a guy does something and connects with so many people for 30 years, like John Ward did with Tennessee football and Tennessee basketball, I mean, I think it's a thing that kind of affects the whole state. I mean, back in the day, it used to be, hey, big basketball game. We didn't have SEC networks and ESPNUs and ESPN2s. And if you wanted to hear Vol basketball, you had to listen to John Ward. People, I know tons of people that for a big SEC Tennessee game, they'd turn the TV volume down and they'd turn the radio up to listen to John Ward. And so a really, really sad story, but a guy who I think, you know, really represents a lot of the good things about Tennessee athletics. And I think a guy that a lot of fans will miss a lot.
Yeah, it's you know, I'm new to the area and coming in and learning about all these guys. And you know, his name has come up. I've heard it several times. And, you know, it's sad to hear of his passing. But I get the whole story of his life and keep hearing these amazing things. And exactly like you said, he's part of the institution.
And I think it's so funny when you think back to with John Ward. I sent out a tweet yesterday about the time that it got released that John Ward had passed away. And I just said, Heaven, give him six. Because, of course, that was John Ward's touchdown call. And so I wanted to run back the national championship game. I believe this was John Ward's last game ever as the voice of the Vols. And, of course, this happens to be when Tennessee went on to win the national title in 98. And just the end of it, knowing that this was also the end of the John Ward era. I mean, when I listened to it today, it got me. So this was John Ward at the end of the 98 Fiesta Bowl when Tennessee took home the national title.
Here come Tennessee fans from everywhere. Here comes media from everywhere. You can count it down with us. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The national champion is clad in big orange. Tennessee 23, Florida State 16.
I mean, just classy and inviting the fans in, and he's going to be missed. So that's how we're starting the show today. Everything's on there. Pekka and the Vezina, PK in the video game. We'll get into that at some point, too. Barry Trotz and John Ward all on the table. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, there is kind of a, with Pekka winning the Vezina, it like leaves one thing left for this, I think, for this franchise to do. But should we be so hell-bent on it? We'll get to that next. Hal Gill's in for Floyd, live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. in Mount Juliet. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Thank you very much. What an honor. Been a long time coming. So, first of all, congrats, Andre and Connor. You guys are going to be here many more times. And firstly, my teammates. Obviously, no goalie can be successful without his teammates. And I feel like I have one of the more talented groups in playing in front of me every single night. So love you, boys. David Poile, your family, our ownership group, means a lot to me. And the fans in Nashville, you guys are the best. My family, they're watching this through on back home in Finland. So my parents, you mean everything to me. Everything you do for me, thank you. My sisters, Erica, who's here, love you all. Thank you very much.
So classy. Beccarine last night winning the Vezina. Hal Gill's in for Floyd. So I said yesterday on the show, Hal, that I was going to have a hard time, you know, with Pekka winning the Vezina because of how the season ended. But just like a little puppy or like a really hot girl, like when Pekka was up there accepting the award, it was just so classy. It's like, I can't stay mad at that face. I can't stay mad. So I am happy for him, and I am. And again, when you look at his career, and I sent this tweet out last night, but again, 300 wins in his career. He's got a Western Conference title. He's got a President's Trophy, and now he's got a Vezina. There's one thing left to do, which is to win the Cup, which is the only thing that I care about. At this point going forward is win the Cup. So they don't have any draft picks in the first or second rounds, but there will be action. And like I'm following the action right now in the offseason, like thinking to myself, boy, I hope Winnipeg doesn't go out there and get Phil Kessel to add to the mix, because my God, what that would do to them. So like that's how I'm watching things here. And yet I wonder if that kind of takes a little bit of the joy out of having a team that's really good, that's accomplished a lot, because I'm just so uber focused on winning the Cup. So it's like, how much of it is the dedication should be win the Cup, the expectation from the fans and the media should be win the Cup, and yet how much of it should be enjoy the ride of being a really good, relevant team where you got a guy on the cover of the video game and you got the best goalie in the world and you went 7 games in an awesome season. Like, where is that kind of balance supposed to be?
All right, well, it's a good question, because I go through it a lot where, of course, everyone's goal, you can say your goal is to win the Cup, right? A lot of people, their realistic expectation is we need to be a good enough team to get in the playoffs. That's where your bar should be set. Because once you get to the playoffs, as we saw 2 years ago, anything can happen. You're 16th into the playoffs and you end up in the finals. So, That's usually the bar that you're looking at. When you're looking at the Preds, there's more expectation than just make the playoffs. It was a tough situation where you're going to a second round and you're playing the best team that's out there in the Winnipeg Jets. So that's a tough round to get through. So you say, okay, we didn't live up to our expectations of winning the Cup, but it's really tough to win the Cup. That's what I don't think people understand is the reason.
Because you've won the Cup.
The reason the Cup is so coveted and why everyone wants it so bad is because it's so hard to win. It is, you have to go through, and I talked to Peter Laviolette a little bit about, before the season even started, I was asking him about the year before, and, you know, you need luck. You need a good power play. You need a good penalty kill. You need forwards with timely scoring. You need defensemen that can shut down big players, that can shut down fast players. You need goalies that are consistent and that can step up when it matters in the end of a game, in different situations, man-up situations, man-down situations, empty net. There's so many things that go into it, and I think all you can do in the offseason is put a team together that'll give you a chance to get into that position. And then there's a lot, you know, I hate to say luck, because you go and you make your own luck. You make the bounces go your way. You find a way to make it happen for you. But it really is. It's a tough road, and that's why it's so much fun. And that's why you look at Ovechkin, who spent how many years looking for it?
Oh, my God, he was like the biggest loser until he did win.
Until he wins it, and then he's swimming in a fountain.
Which is kind of how I feel about Pekka, right? Not that he's like a loser or anything like that, but, I mean, I feel like Pekka around the league has a reputation in big games that is not a good one. Based on,
Until he wins a big game.
Exactly.
And then, you know,
like, because they'll remember the Cup Final or the Winnipeg Series or one of the Chicago Series. And so you take away some of his great games, like Game 6 of the Western Conference Final last year, where the Preds got off like 16 shots and Anaheim got off 43 and they still won the game.
Yeah.
Like, you throw that out. Or like Game 4 of the Cup Final last year, you throw those out and you just remember the clunkers. Until Pekka goes out there in Game 6 and wins you the Stanley Cup next year because he's got 38 saves and gives up one goal.
Yeah, when you lose, you go, "What? Hey, Game 1 was a turning point. That's why we lost. That was – and then you win and then, you know, none of those games matter, right? None of the stinkers matter anymore because you won.
Right, and if the same can be said when you lost, like, on the other side. Like,
but there's only one team that wins every year, so every other team is looking at – every other team is looking at the same thing. Winnipeg Jets, what do you think they're thinking?
Oh, I think they – like, I think the Jets are looking at it like, man, we were really good, and then Patrick Laine didn't show up in the playoffs.
Opportunity lost.
And we blew it.
Is Patrick Laine – do they just give up on Laine and move on?
I'd really like it if they did.
Yeah, we'd like that. But, you know, that's what every team is going through, and it's funny because it's a copycat league, and – so there's teams that are gonna you know, the Capitals win. Well, what did they do to win? Let's think about how they won. Let's be like them. Well, they've been doing the same thing forever.
You mean winning the President's Trophy, losing, in the second round.
And now they weren't as good.
Do it just like them.
And now they weren't as good. And then all of a sudden they win. I don't think that was their best year. They had a good team and they kind of cranked through. They're under the radar. They weren't the best team they could have been all year until it mattered. Grubauer goes in, he gets yanked. All of a sudden, Holtby goes in, plays well. I mean, their story is different than the way it was, but I don't know if you build a team that way. So in the offseason, I think Pecorino kind of said it. I'm going to go back and work the way I have. And I will say, he's flying in people to treat him. He's – you know, I've talked to him. He's watching his diet. You know, he knows his body. You know, you take time off, but it's a different time off. You know, when you get older, and he's aware of that. He's very much aware of what it takes in the off season to get to where he was. You know, he did that last year. He's focused on everything he needs to do to be ready for that moment when it comes next year. And that's all you can do. And as fans, I think you appreciate guys that bring it and prepare and, you know, go along with the ride. Like you said, go on the ride with him and then we'll see what happens when you get there. But the goal is to win the cup. That's his goal. That's the Preds' goal. You know, it's a lot harder to get than just saying, yeah, well, let's go do it.
I just feel there's so much of these early Titans teams. Like the first 5 years the Titans were in Nashville, they go to the Super Bowl the first year, lose, best record in the NFL, lose in the second round of the Ravens. Then they take a step back in the 9/11 year, which was just a real funky year for both the team and the league. Go back to the playoffs, lose in the divisional round of the... No, lose in the AFC title game to the Raiders, lose in the divisional round to the Patriots, and then the window shuts. And like, oh boy, I feel like this Preds team is a lot like those Titans teams. And I just feel like I just want them, just for the fans, to get one cup. Like, this group deserves the cup. Talking about the fans, the coach, the GM, the goalie, just get the cup. But then I feel like if you're so hell-bent like I am on winning the cup, you lose sight of everything else that happens in between. You know, you lose, like, when you're only thinking about the end result, it's like, you know, that Winnipeg series was a great series. Like, back and forth and overtime and a 34-save shutout in
enjoy
game six.
That.
And yet I take no enjoyment out of any of that. Because I am just sitting there thinking about this team's got to find a way to win the cup. And as you say, it's really hard.
Well, being a Boston guy, you know what you remind me of is every Red Sox fan for how many years before they won the
86.
Before they won the championship? I mean, 80s, Bill Buckner ruined everything for us. And there was heartbreak. You know, the Cubs, they went through the same thing. The Rangers, 1940, you know, like, you develop a passionate fan base when you consistently compete for the championship. Winning is always nice, but enjoy the fact that you're competing. That's the biggest thing for me is I always wanted to be on a team that was competing.
Hal Gill in for Floyd, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Again, Pekka won the Vezina last night for last season. What does it mean for next season? And what does it mean beyond next season? We'll get into that next. Hey, the National Predators Craft Beer Festival presented by Allegiant Travel Company will be held this Saturday at Bridgestone Arena. Join Hal Gill and the crew as the event brings more than 60 breweries to the heart of downtown Nashville. It will be the coolest beer festival in town. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit nationalpredators.com/beer. Hal Gill in for Floyd. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5.
No, I mean, this is totally separate. Obviously, it's a huge – I mean, it's based on – based on your regular season, I you know, I'm very proud of the way myself and we as a team we played in a regular season. But you know, it's totally, you know, to me it's not really. I've already put that behind me. You know, the playoffs and the series against Winnipeg. But it's a great boost for going into the next season and you know, getting back to your training and preparing for the next season. And I'm just very happy for that and can't wait to celebrate it with you know, over here.
Stop me if I'm wrong on this. Hal Gill in for Floyd. That was the best goalie in the world, Pekka Rinne, correct?
This is Pekka Rinne. Yes.
The best goalie in the world. Won the Vezina Trophy last night, so he's the best goalie in the world.
He had the best season.
Okay, so last season he was the best goalie in the world.
Yes.
So what does that mean for 2018-19, where he's got 1 year left at $7 million, and he's got a full no-movement clause? And after that, there's nothing. And I keep hearing about all this Ryan Ellis talk about number one thing is re-sign Ryan Ellis, number one thing. Pekka's 35, I get it. But what does the fact that, as of right now, he's the best goalie in the world, even though he is 35, what's that mean for this upcoming season, and what's that mean for the future of Pekka Rinne, and how long can he keep doing it for?
I don't know. I you know what? It always drove me crazy when people would be like, tell me I was old, and I'd be like, yeah, I'm old, but I feel better than I, you know. It's all based on performance, especially for a goalie. I don't care how old you are. You stop the puck, and I'll be happy. You know, you could be 75. I'm not going to judge you until you don't stop the puck. So if he has a good year, he's worked hard. We just talked about that. And he said it. He's like, I think he looks at this as motivation to go back and train and be ready for a great season. So if he has another good season, you know, I think especially, you know, can you get a discount? Can you get a great goalie that works well with UC Saros? I mean, they have they're a great combination, you know.
You know him better than I do. Do you think you could get a discount?
Could you get him to sign on as a segue, like, you know.
Like sign him to both bridge deals. So Saros comes up this year.
Yeah.
As an RFA.
I don't know.
Sign him to a bridge deal. Sign Pekka to a.
He might have a.
Two-year, $11
million
deal.
It's all about Pekka's year. If he has a great year, sign him again. Yeah, I that's my opinion, you know, but. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. There's no reason to panic right now and make decisions. David Poyle's going to let it play out and see
everybody
where it
takes wants
him.
To panic about the Ellis thing, though. Like, everyone's like, they got to get an Ellis deal done. They cannot go into the season with Ellis.
Well, I don't know
if Ellis not re-signed, but we don't do that with Pekka.
That's a different story, I think.
Why?
Because you have, because you're adding a big chunk of salary when you add Ryan Ellis. With taking Pekka out, I don't think there's a lot of teams that are going to go and get Pekka Rinne because they are going to want to have someone long term. Like we talked about before, the Preds really invested in Pekka, and Pekka bought in with the Preds a long time ago. That's why he had the big deal, and that's why he's stuck around so long. You know, the fact that he's here and he has a great relationship with the heir apparent, I think, is with Saros is what's going to allow them a little more flexibility.
Like, if you're a team, though, and you think you're a goalie away, like, I would, like, and I'm talking about next season when Pekka's deal's up. You know, Pekka's deal's up. If you're I'm trying to think of who's like a decent team that doesn't have a really good goalie. Like, Edmonton is the team that comes to the top of my head because I think Cam Talbot is like a guy. So let's say Edmonton gets back to being good because they have the best player probably in the game. So Edmonton gets back to being good.
They were good. And then just poof, like that, they weren't.
Right. So let's say that they get back to being good.
Bizarre.
So Edmonton's good again, and they lose in the second round, and it's a great series with so-and-so. And they're like, man, Cam Talbot is not terrible, but he's not elite. And Pekka Rinne's a free agent right there. And you've got McDavid at like 22 years old, and you know, like, okay, now is the time where even though Pekka's 36 years old, if I can bring in Pekka Rinne, I've got a shot to win the cup. Like, that to me is a, like, he's good. If he's good next year, and I'm going to make the assumption that he is going to be good.
Yeah.
He's going to have people that want to sign him after next season, in addition to maybe you. So, like, I don't, you know him better than I do. I mean, is this something where he and David could go year to year? Like, hey, you had a great season. Let's say he wins the Vezina again. 1 year, $8 million. Like, can they do that? Or is he going to want, you know, a 3-year deal,
I think,
and now you've got Soros behind you, so what do? I don't know.
I think this goes to the same, you know, we talked about Tavares. Is he going to leave Long Island? He's going to stay with the Islanders. It's going to be kind of a hometown. That's his team. You know, if he's going somewhere else, he's starting over. I think, and I'm guessing, I don't want to speak on Pecorino's behalf because I don't know, but I really believe he wants to win here because this is part of him. Mm-hmm. You know, this city and these people and this organization is part of him. And I imagine he wants to stay here and win. So, you know, obviously he wants to win the cup this year. After that, I think he's probably just going to take it as it comes. I think he's loaded up for this year. And then I think he'll deal with it after that. I don't see him panicking. I don't see Poyle panicking. I think they wait until that they'll deal with it when they get there.
How much does what they end up giving Soros matter in this equation? Because, like Ian and I have talked about it, we think he's going to get a bridge deal as a restricted free agent. But what if they go and they give Soros like a 6-year deal at like five per or something like that? Well, they believe, and they would know him better than we would. So they believe in Soros, so they lock him up for a long time. Now, I mean, if Soros is signed at 6 years, five per, starting next season, then I feel like you can't go to Rene and do a 2-year 11 because you can't pay $11 million for two goalies.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think that's something – it'll be interesting to see how they balance the load this year and how much Soros – how many games he gets, and, you know, is it going to be more than last year? What was last year? 20 games, something like that. You know, I'd imagine that Soros would have some more play, some more games this year, give Pekka a little more rest. But if Pekka has a great year, you know, maybe he does go and play somewhere else and make more bank and try to win there.
26 games for Soros.
26.
What if, let's just fast forward a year from now. Pekka Rinne wins the Vezina again. Now what do you do?
Well, what a good problem to have if you have a goalie. You know, you have another goalie coming up. It's a tough one. I mean, Poyle's got to eventually, you're going to have to pay Soros. He's earned the right to get paid. So there's going to have to be some stick handling going on there. And you're going to have to commit to a guy. I don't believe that you can really go 1A, 1B. I've seen it go wrong too many times where you have, you know, the guys compete for jobs. I think it worked with the Jets because they had Mason go in with Hellebuck, and Hellebuck said, no, this is my job, and took it. So I don't know if you can really have a compete for the job kind of thing.
With those two guys. Like, you can do it with a guy like Hellebuck who you don't really love. And so you bring in Steve Mason, and it's like, prove us wrong, Connor.
Yeah.
And then he goes out and
shoved it in their face.
But now they got to pay him, and they're paying Steve Mason.
Yeah.
So now you got to deal with that.
So, yeah.
But I hear what you're saying. I just, I think it's interesting. You know, the big thing about, well, the number one priority is to get Ryan Ellis done.
Hey, you bring up a good point.
And nobody's talking about Pecorine.
Because I don't think it's, it, you know, you're worried about adding to your salary cap, to your number with Ryan Ellis. With the Pecorine thing, I think you're trying to balance it more. You know, do you want to re-sign him? Is it at a discount? Obviously, I don't think they can go out and sign Saros and Rene for Rene's, what he's making, $7
million. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to have to be less. Will Rene take it? You know, I bet they'll have conversations about that at some point, but I don't think there's a panic about it. I think they want to wait and see how the season goes for both sides. You know, Pekka wants to prove himself and keep playing well. Saros wants to prove himself and try and get that job. So Poyle's going to sit there and watch both of them, monitor the situation, and see where it goes.
You know what Floyd would say, Ian? Never make a decision until you have to. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Your thoughts. And you know what? That's the question I'll have here is, what if Pekka wins the Vezina again next year? If he wins the Vezina again next year, how much does that change everything? Because you can't go to him. Like, I think right now I would go to him and I'd offer him a 2-year deal at about five per. So a 2-year extension after this year. He's got seven per this year, the next 2 years at five per. Now, that may burn you in the butt, but I feel like you can get Saros on a bridge around three, and then you're paying eight for your two goalies, and I think you could do that. And that I'm totally cool with. But what if he wins the Vezina again? Because he's not doing 2 years, $5 million per if he wins a second Vezina in a row. So that's kind of the way I look at it. 615.
I think you should be there with Poyle, Saros, and Rene. Work this out.
I think they should ask. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Hal Gill is in for Floyd. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the app that you need to tap, The Game Nashville.
No, I do get emotional fairly easy, but at the same time, you know, I was nervous and emotional and, you know, like you said, going back in time and thinking about different people, thinking about my parents and, you know, who couldn't be here. They're back home watching, you know, they were watching the show and things like that. So, and, you know, I didn't even thank Benny, who I work the most and, you know, Ben Vanderklok and, you know, Mitch Korn worked for years and then goalie coach Ari Hilli in Finland. You know, those three guys, they've, you know, as a goalie, they've impacted me the most and forever grateful for that. And, you know, there's so many coaches and, you know, but the biggest thing this year, it's my teammates. And when you're going back in your career, it's always your parents and feel so grateful. And, you know, I'm going to be so happy to take the trophy to my dad. And, you know, he can hold on to it and he can. So that's it's for them. You know, that's, you know, why I started playing hockey and, you know, why I, you know, eventually started having success.
What a classic guy. The best goaltender in the world, Pecorine, winning the Vezina Trophy yesterday. Hal Gill in for Floyd. One quick thought, and then Ian has a developing story that we need to discuss. But how much does Pekka's classiness, like we were talking about the Saros thing and his contract up and the fact that he doesn't have an extension, doesn't look like they're going to give him an extension. How much does his classiness like trickle through the entire organization that you were a part of as a player and now as a broadcaster?
Well, you know what? I think you could probably look at it both ways. I think the classiness of the organization is he kind of grew up with this organization. I'm giving his parents a bunch of credit. I'm giving Finland is, they're good people. Finns are good people, you know? And so, you know, he helps out with the classiness of the organization, but I think the organization is also given back. And I think if you're a guy like David Poyle, that's a plus when you have a guy that is that kind and that good of a heart and that good of a person and that much of a competitor. It just makes it that much easier to sign a guy like that. And you want him, you want your team around that. You want a hard worker, for your players to be around.
Never takes credit when they win. Always takes the blame when they lose. You know, like after they lost to Winnipeg, got up in front of the cameras when he didn't have to and basically took responsibility for losing. You know, the coach is saying don't do it. He's saying do it. You know, blame me. I mean, I just think on some level or another, when your best player, which he is, and I know he's like not the captain of the team, but I kind of feel like he is the team leader of the team.
Yep.
Like when
well, he's the mainstay. He's the backbone. He's the, you know, he might not be the vocal leader, but he's the guy that everyone looks to. He's the guy.
That's why I think Peter Laviolette has got to come up with a way to slow the game down or change the momentum when things aren't going well, other than pulling the goalie. I know he doesn't have a whole lot of options, but I mean, like, I feel like he's got to find a way to keep him out there and stuff like that. But that's a whole different topic for a different day. I feel like it makes it easier to coach when you have a guy like that on your team. Makes it easier for the young goalie to be able to know that Pekka's probably not going to stab him in the back. Like, I just think those things do trickle down to your actual play on the ice as you try to win championships.
Yeah, it all matters. When you're around a team, and we talked about this, that what's going on in that locker room, I don't know exactly what's going around in that locker room and what's going on a day-to-day basis, but I can tell you Pekka Rinne is a reason why good things will happen. And so you put guys like that, you're like Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, the core group of guys that are in that locker room are good people. And so good things are going to happen when you put good people in charge. And I think and you don't have to necessarily put a letter or call him captain, or you don't, it doesn't matter what you call Pekka Rinne. Everyone in that room knows, you know, he's the big dog. He's the big cat back there.
Now, Ian has a developing story, but first go to thegamenational.com now and get two adult tickets for the price of one to Beach Bend Amusement Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park while supplies last. Ian, what is the developing situation you said that you have?
We have, in the FIFA World Cup, Croatia has defeated Argentina 3-0.
Do that on your own time.
Croatia has now advanced to the next round out of this group with this win, and Argentina will be on the brink of elimination coming up next.
So who do they play next?
I'm not sure. I want to say Nigeria.
Oh,
because they drew with Iceland in game one, and now they've lost 3-0 to Croatia in game two. So
that's enough. That's enough.
Jared, be quiet. The adults are talking. The adults are talking.
I can only do so much on the soccer.
Go back to Modric with an awesome goal.
Do that on your own time, people. Like, that is, hey, they've got Nigeria. Like, Argentina should never lose to Nigeria in soccer.
That's what makes sports great, Jared.
I mean,
anything can happen on the pitch, Jared.
Apparently so.
Listen, so
I didn't know Croatia was supposed to win.
So let's talk about what does that do if they don't advance, if Argentina doesn't get through. What does that say about
Messi?
Lionel Messi?
Hard. I don't know about that, but it's not going well. That's for sure.
Aren't there like country? Now correct me if I'm wrong, and if I overstep boundaries, please stop me, Ian. So
okay,
be
stop.
Alert. Aren't there like certain countries like around the world? Where, like, if you fail in the World Cup, when you come home,
you don't get your family anymore.
aren't there countries like that? Is Argentina one of those countries?
I don't think it goes that far, but there are some.
Colombia.
There are some camps, you know, as a child where you have to go and you do all that kind of stuff and you have limited access to your family. But I don't know about how.
I don't think it's as bad as it
really
is. It's not
gets.
The 80s anymore.
I don't think so.
I mean, isn't it? Like, I remember one time where, like, a guy on Japan's team was a player, like played professionally in Italy, and in the World Cup, he scored to beat Italy, so the Italian team cut him from the team.
Like the club team? I could see that happening. Yeah,
I could see them cutting him, but not, you know.
I mean, not cutting him physically. But I have heard, you know, like, I feel like there are some countries around the world where they just take sports a little too far sometimes in terms of the World Cup, and luckily this is not. So, again, the World Cup, please do that on your own time. ESPN 94.9 Game 2, the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in Tuesday, Nashville SC takes on Indy 11 at First Tennessee Park. Pre-game 7:15, kickoff at 7:30 on ESPN 94.9 Game 2, powered by your Middle Tennessee Toyota dealers and Great Clips. Hal Gill is in for Floyd, and coming up next, NFL.com's got 5 reasons the Titans will make the playoffs. We'll go over those 5 reasons And why I think one of them I am really excited about. We'll get to that next. Hal Gillen for Floyd. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.